You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.
A new draft of NIST Special Publication 800-53 is out. Brute force is used against Scotland's Parliament. It's email accounts, we mean. This isn't Braveheart. Fancy Bear's romp through high-end hotel Wi-Fi suggests the Equation Group leaks will be with us for some time. Mr. Smith remains at large and still wants to be paid. TrickBot uses unusually convincing counterfeit sites. PowerPoint malware vectors may be part of a criminal test. NetSaran urges swift patching of a backdoor in its software. Extremist inspiration persists. And some guy in Nigeria with more moxie than skills is behind a big business email compromise campaign. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, August 16th, 2017. First, some quick news on standards. NIST has issued a new draft of its influential and widely used Special Publication 800-53, Security and Privacy Controls for Information Systems and Organizations. The latest version is noteworthy for the way in which it seeks to incorporate privacy protection throughout its system of controls. Turning to cyber attacks, Scotland's Parliament has sustained a brute force attack on members' email credentials. The campaign is similar to the one Westminster sustained in June, and similar measures are being taken to remediate it. The attackers are attempting, as they did with the London incident, to get access to email accounts. Security experts continue to react to cyber firm FireEye's moderately confident conclusion that Fancy Bear has been compromising hotel Wi-Fi networks using tools stolen from Equation Group and leaked by the shadow brokers. The leaked exploits involved server message block flaws, SMB. How the brokers got the exploits they leaked in April remains a mystery, but the SMB flaws they exploit, Eternal Blue, Eternal Romance, Eternal Synergy, and Eternal Champion, are likely to present problems for some time, according to an analysis published by security company Cylance. WannaCry and NotPetya were the two malware pandemics to take advantage of the Equation Group leaks. Both presented themselves as ransomware, but both are now generally regarded as pseudo-ransomware, disruptive attacks that pose as ransomware to cloak their operators' true intentions. There is, in fairness, some doubt on this score with respect to WannaCry, which some researchers regard as a genuine but botched extortion attempt, possibly a money-making scheme by the North Korean government. Both strains continue to trouble enterprises. The healthcare sector worries about WannaCry, given the effect it had on Britain's National Health Service, and the manufacturing and logistics sectors are still recovering from and paying for NotPetya. In one case, shipping giant Maersk has pegged its NotPetya-related losses at $300 million, and the company's CEO has instituted a corporate shakeup to make the business more resilient. Here at the CyberWire, we like to think we provide a public service to our listeners by reminding you, repeatedly, to back up your data. It's easier than ever these days. Storage is cheap, be it an external hard drive or space in the cloud. Alas, not everyone heeds our warnings, and sometimes things go wrong. Your only copy of that important file gets erased, or you just never got around to asking IT why your laptop hard drive was making that horrible clicking sound, and you find yourself in need of a data recovery service. Jeff Peterson is Senior Manager of Operations at Kroll OnTrack Data Recovery.
everything that gets put in place in the world seems to be trying to eliminate the need for data recovery. And that's been happening since we started business over 25 years ago. And so backups were going to eliminate the need for data recovery. RAID systems were going to eliminate the need for data recovery. The cloud was going to eliminate the need for data recovery. And what we find is that no matter what gets put in place, as long as humans are running computers and they need access to that data, data recovery is going to be needed on some level. VMware, for instance, and any virtualization makes it super easy for IT administrators to provision and allocate data for different divisions or departments within a corporation, but also makes it super easy for them to delete those inadvertently. And so we've had to build tools and the ability to recover from virtual machines.
So what about encryption? You know, I can see there sort of being two sides to that. People will say, well, you want to encrypt everything on your hard drive to make it more secure, but that could make recovery more challenging, yes?
It absolutely can, and we've had to customize our tools to accommodate for that. The encryption that's put on, and it matters whether it's put on at the hardware level or at the software level, and we're not in the business of cracking encryption or anything like that, but what we do need to do is to be able to apply the encryption credentials that are used by our customers and sent to us to then crack open, essentially, and allow us access to the data that's on the disks, because without that encryption information, or if a customer forgets their passwords, we're a professional data recovery company, but we still would not be able to recover that data. We can read all of the encrypted data that you want, but to get it decrypted, we do need those original credentials.
So as someone who's in the business of helping people recover things that they've lost, what sorts of advice do you have for people to set up ways to, not need your services?
Right. We get asked that all the time by our customers is, how do we not call you back ever again
after
we've completed? And so we basically tell them it comes down to vigilance and to basically getting control of your data set, knowing what data you have, knowing what you absolutely want to back up, and maybe not backing up your entire local hard drive. You've got your documents and your pictures potentially, or your email, whatever you don't want to have to send to us for recovery, that is what you want to send to the cloud or to a backup device, whether that be a local NAS device or an additional hard drive. But then, much like you do with any of your other protected documents or highly sensitive documents, you're going to probably send them off-site. You're not going to have them in your house in the same place where if your house were to have a fire, to have some flood or some incident happen, that they're going to be in the same physical location. So you're going to send them off to somewhere else. And so if that's a safety deposit box, if that is somebody else's home, if that is the cloud where you're going to replicate that data to the cloud and that's your off-site storage, then we say make another copy. So you have at least two places where you can go to find that very important information.
That's Jeff Peterson from Kroll OnTrack Data Recovery. Taking a quick look at a few sponsored events from our CyberWire event tracker, we've got the Security in the Boardroom event coming up August 23rd in Palo Alto, California. That's from the Chertoff Group. And also, the Johns Hopkins Information Security Institute has teamed up with Compass Cybersecurity. They're hosting the Cybersecurity Conference for Executives. That's September 19th, 2017, and that is in Baltimore. To learn more about the events or to find out how you can have your event listed in our event tracker, visit thecyberwire.com/events. Mr. Smith is getting more strident with his or her or their demands on HBO, but it's not clear what Mr. Smith may have actually obtained from hacking the entertainment giant. It is increasingly clear what Mr. Smith is after. If hackers tend to seek cash or cachet, Mr. Smith is a cash kind of guy. TrickBot banking malware is being disseminated through unusually convincing counterfeit sites. Even the URL and certificate are right. PowerPoint vectors may be distributing an OLE exploit as a test, or so Cisco and Trend Micro researchers suspect. The exploit attacks a known vulnerability in Microsoft Office products. Kaspersky Lab has discovered a backdoor in the update mechanism for NetSerang's widely used server management software. NetSerang confirms that the backdoor, called ShadowPad, inadvertently appeared in a recent build of their product. It's been patched, and since it was discovered Monday that ShadowPad is being exploited in the wild, NetSerang urges all users to update as soon as possible. The neo-Nazi website Daily Stormer, kicked out of most legitimate services, appears to have migrated its unsavory inspiration to the dark net. Even there, parties unknown may be pursuing it with distributed denial-of-service attacks. The Stormer, or at least its message, will probably find other outlets, if long experience with ISIS is any guide. The Caliphate has posted more beheading pictures. The victim this time is a captured Iranian IRGC fighter. Finally, a very large business email compromise campaign that hit major organizations worldwide has been tracked to its source. The operation was so large that many observers thought it was a state-directed series of attacks. But no, researchers at security firm Checkpoint have run it to ground, and they say it's the work of a not particularly skilled but very brassy 20-something Nigerian guy. He was armed with the commodity Netwire Trojan and the Hawkeye Keylogger, and with some fairly clumsy broadcast phishing was able to do some damage. Checkpoint has shared what they know with Nigerian authorities, who have taken an interest in the unnamed young man. His motto is said to be, "Get rich or die trying." Hopefully it doesn't come to that.
Hey everybody, today I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
And And joining me once again is Ben Yellen. He's a senior law and policy analyst at the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Ben, welcome back. We had a story come by about privacy concerns with smart vacuum cleaners. You know, you got your Roombas and the little robot vacuums like that that wander around your house. And turns out they may be collecting information and data on our homes.
Yeah, it seems like there's no limit to which devices can collect data within our homes these days, but this one was especially interesting to me. So this article said that Roomba devices, which are produced by iRobot, collect mapping information about your house. So they basically internalize the location of various rooms, various devices to help get a complete picture. And the fear here is that iRobot is going to sell this data to third parties, or they could potentially turn this data over to the government for a criminal prosecution. And in their contract, it says that they have the right to do that. So as soon as you accept the terms and conditions, when you activate your Roomba device, you are signing away your rights to this information. You can never know what situation will present itself in the future. And if law enforcement is in a situation where there's some crime where the specific location ends up mattering, I mean, we've seen instances that you and I have talked about, Dave, where Alexa has cut through somebody's alibi just by hearing that person's voice in a recording. So we can see the same situation here. You could get potential incriminating information from someone based on mapping information that occurs within the house.
To be clear, the reason that the robot is gathering this information for its own uses is to do a better job of vacuuming your home. I could certainly see, like you say, law enforcement using that. If they had a warrant to enter someone's house, it'd be useful for them to be able to know where everything is in that house. But also, I could see, on the flip side, I could see it being helpful to a fire department. If they have to come in your house in the middle of the night, if they could bring up a map of where all the furniture is, where the beds are located, maybe they could do a quicker job of locating people in a burning house.
Yeah, I think that's true. And you could certainly see the benefits when you think about third parties. I mean, let's say it's just selling it to Amazon. They can improve the acoustics of the music you listen to based on data submitted by these Roomba devices. They could know, how big a room is, so the acoustics can be better when your Amazon Echo device comes on. So there are certainly legitimate and potentially good uses of this data.
Yeah, and to be fair, the CEO of iRobot, his name is Colin Angle, and he says that they would not sell that data without consulting the customers first, so they're saying you'd have to opt in, but at the same time, the EULA that you sign when you sign up to use this technology says they don't have to tell you.
Right, exactly. So there's no legal obligation for them to notify you if they submit your data to a third party. Perhaps there's an ethical or moral obligation, and more important than that, there could be a business justification. I mean, we've seen telecommunications companies and all other sorts of companies that produce all sorts of hardware, using their security features as a selling point. Perhaps that can give them a niche in the market for people who are security savvy. So there are ethical reasons, but also just bottom line reasons to withhold that data.
All right. It's an interesting story. Ben Yellen, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And now a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now, a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com.